What is going on, Jobber Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast on this very special Friday the 13th episode. With always the face who runs the place, with me as always is the face who runs the place, Tyler Face.
What's up, y'all?
What is going on? How was your week, dude?
It's been wild. I mean, the weekend, I kept keeping up with wrestling, but we had my boy's birthday party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Happy
little
birthday.
Shitheads 10. I've been working my ass off.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like
trying to keep up with wrestling, but dude, exactly, when I say dude. There's so much.
Exactly.
There's only so much I can keep up with.
Like I told you before we even started recording, I'm glad that we made it into a weekly show because I feel like this episode right here would probably be one of the bigger episodes that we'd had if we stayed to the 2 week format. There was a lot of shit that went down.
Oh my God. There was Saturday.
Oh yeah.
Monday.
Yep.
Tuesday.
And then tonight.
Holy Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Tonight's going to be pretty big for SmackDown, as it was just announced shortly before we started recording that there is some breaking news. According to Pro Wrestling Insider, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis will be making his WWE debut tonight on SmackDown as an authority figure to the Blue Brand.
Nice.
So that's going to be interesting right there, because you're bringing in someone that Cody has faced before for an NWA World Heavyweight Championship and won at the first ever All In. Which was just an independent pay-per-view event back then. So it'd be interesting to see if Cody's quote-unquote story goes through Nick Aldis at any point in time. I mean, he's only, I think, 35, 36 years old, so he could still wrestle. They don't put it past him. I mean, all of the authority figures in WWE have wrestled when they held that tag still. Triple H, Vince.
This is very true.
So even Sonya Deville, being a general manager at one point in time, she still wrestled. So, I mean, don't put it past
her. What was her name? Paige? Not Paige. Yeah, it was Paige.
Paige had to go into, like, the general manager because of her neck. Kind of like
yeah,
Edge.
But she still kind of dabbled in...
A little bit, yeah. The more non-physical part of it.
Yes.
She dabbled in. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. And plus, he's also married to former 5-time WWE Women's Champion Mickey James. So
this is true. I completely forgot about that.
We'll see if that translates to her going over to WWE. But granted, how she was released last time for the promotion with her gear and trash bags sent to her door, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Right.
But yeah, going into WWE from just that little bit of breaking news, like you said, it was a crazy Saturday, Fastlane.
I felt like it was overwhelming, but we got through it.
He said it was overwhelming, but we got through it. It was like one of those things where you got hyped probably a little bit throughout the day in the back of your mind. Hey, Fastlane's coming up, you know, excited for some of the matches. But then it happened, and it's like, man, we have to get through this. At least for
yeah,
me, it was.
I watched a couple of them Fastlane matches. I'm just like, yo, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't taste right to me, if that makes
yeah,
any sense.
I mean, going off of like what you said, I remember Fastlane as being on the road to WrestleMania. That's what I've always remembered it as. And it was one of the big pay-per-view events of the year, and people got excited for it. Now you're putting it towards the end of the year, and you're sandwiching it in between, you know, the likes of SummerSlam and the likes of the Saudi Arabia pay-per-view event, which is the next one for WWE, which is Crown Jewel. So you're sandwiching in between that, and you're making it seem a little less important than what it used to be.
This is very true.
And I think that's probably somewhat what you're feeling too.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm sitting here like, yo, it's I didn't understand. like, I understand the nostalgia, and that's cool, but it's getting too much.
Exactly.
We need to give the new age people, the new age crew, their time to shine.
Exactly. And even that pay-per-view kicked off with a shot of Jade Cargill making her entrance to the arena. The only thing that was happening was she just talked to Triple H, and that was pretty much it. She didn't make like a promo or go out to the ring and say anything. It's just going to be, you know, her going forward. I mean, I can't wait to see how they use her since she is on the greener side. See if they throw her into a main event type situation and have her be a mid card like she was in AEW, because that's the only way I could think of her leaving AEW was because they promised her something on the main event status.
They had to promise her something big to make her leave. Any company, hey, I'm going to promise you this if you come over here next week. Okay. But you better have it in writing or I'm not
exactly
leaving.
But then again, it's like that women's locker room is already stacked.
Yeah, for real,
it's,
though.
It's compared to the AEW women's locker room, she was a big fish in a tiny-ass little pond. And I don't mean that as a shot to the AEW as a promotion. I just mean it as in the women's locker room is dog water in AEW. You have, like, two or three decent women's wrestlers, and the rest are mid-card or opening acts, you know?
I mean, that's true.
She's going to a place where she's going to be a small fish in a big pond.
And that's what she wants. I think that's how she thrives. She got to the top of AEW, and she's like, "All right, dude, what now?"
Exactly. Plus, she had that little bit of that undefeated streak, and I think once that undefeated streak came to an end, and she took a little bit of time off, I think she really reevaluated her situation at AEW, and probably thought that she could probably win the biggest prize, which is the WWE Women's Championship.
This is true.
I mean, she's won the TNT, not TNT, but the TBS Women's Championship, which is AEW's mid-card belt for the women. But
yeah,
she never got that shot at the actual championship because they had it on Britt Baker for the longest time, which was the easiest money get for them at that time.
This is very true.
But I don't know. Do you think, as her now being that small fish in that big pond, you said that she, you know, more likely will rise up to the pressure, but do you think that she'll see like the success right away? Or do you think they'll try to stick it to her being this new upcoming person from AEW and kind of do like what Vince used to do to the WCW wrestlers and just be like, you know what, we're going to push you down to the bottom for a while and then make you work your way up?
I mean, I don't see why she would walk in the company and be on top. You got to work your way from the bottom, dude. She worked her way to the top in AEW. She's got to work her way to the top in WWE. That's the only.
Exactly.
That's where it. That's. What am I looking for?
She has to pay her dues.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I was looking for.
And in this situation, you know, we've heard reports that she was going to be this quote unquote free agent where she would jump around from brand to brand and, you know, pretty much show up wherever and whenever needed.
Well, now obviously WWE gave her a bunch of money to come there.
Well, now it's talking. I think I heard reports that she's going to Raw, I think, or one of the two she's going to. But it's like, why not?
I think it was SmackDown, I think.
Why not? Yeah, I think I was hearing SmackDown too. But why not just start her in NXT?
For real. Start her at NXT and then make her wait.
You're doing everything. You're doing everything ass backwards these days. You're having your main stars go down to NXT and not promoting any NXT stars. I mean, we've had Baron Corbin down in NXT now. You had Becky Lynch in NXT. I think yes. Seth Rollins made an appearance in NXT. The entire Judgment Day was on NXT. I mean, who else are they going to get
like,
on NXT from the main roster?
I'm not going to lie. I don't keep up with NXT because it's hard to do. Because one,
I
don't know a lot of the people there. And two, I don't know enough about NXT, you know?
I think that's the main reason why NXT did what they did this week. And we'll talk more about that a little later on in the show. But I think that's what they did was to get the person that watches SmackDown or Raw weekly and religiously to come in and be like, hey, we also got this. look what this can do. You know, it's a shiny new thing. Look at it, you know, and we're going to have so-and-so here. Look at it, you know, just pay attention to us, you know?
Yeah. I think on Tuesday they were doing too much. I feel like it was too forced.
Yeah. We'll definitely get a little bit more into that later, because I know probably yourself and myself would probably have at least a lot to talk about that. And
I do.
we have a lot to talk about that, and I think we have a lot about Fastlane. And I don't know if everybody's ready for all this, but here we go. Hey, we're gonna do like what we did for Fastlane and push through it.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ, Fastlane.
We open up Fastlane with match one, the tag team championships. We're up.
When I say I would have lost, if I would have bet, I would have lost everything on that.
Oh yeah, I think both of us did, because like I told you, I said I don't see why you wouldn't have, especially since you're in a standstill with the Bloodline. Especially with Roman not having a match in a little bit and breaking up the Usos, you need something to fall back on. And the Judgment Day was that fallback.
But I'm going to be honest. I kind of like how they did it, though. Just out of nowhere.
But then again, it's like I'm not a big fan of the experimental tag teams, I guess you could say. The ones where you just put up two guys that are like, Team Hell No. I keep always referencing it.
But you know what? I like Team Hell No and Team Hell Yes. And then I like that because it was so random. But then Big Show, like the Jer Show, that was one of my favorites they did.
But it's like this also seems like they don't know themselves, or they also have a plan on where this Cody story is going to end up.
Right.
I think them combining Jay and Cody as a tag team like that, kind of out of like a whim, and making them win tag team gold, I think you're going to see something happen where Jay either wants the shot at Roman and there's going to be some beef and something's going to happen between Cody and Jay to get to Roman. That's what I think. And I think you could probably see that at Survivor, like that. Probably Survivor Series, because that's towards the end of the year, or if not the first of the year, at the Royal Rumble.
This is true.
But yeah,
who has the Money in the Bank? That's Damian Priest, right?
Damian Priest, he has the Money in the Bank. Yes, he does.
I'm surprised he still hasn't turned that in yet.
I called it last show, and it was a perfect opportunity with a perfect match with the last man standing. I mean, you cash in on the guy that's freaking over there trying to catch his breath, you know? Or just go out there and pin whoever, because, you know, well, not really whoever, but you had to pin.
You got to pin the champ to win.
Yeah, you had to pin Seth at that point in time. But, you know, Shinsuke's over there taking a 10-minute breather. Seth's on his back taking a 10-minute breather. I mean, come on. Cash in.
Right.
But I just find it crazy, too, because when, like I said, when they broke up the Usos, they were saying that Jay was going to get a big solos push, and now you have him as a tag team champion again. The first tag team championship without his brother, you know, it's like,
I mean, I want to see where it goes. Tag push again, I want to see where it goes, because I like the interview they had the other day. Yo, that shit made me laugh so fucking hard.
They were so wasted on that interview. It was so funny.
What's up, girls?
I think it was the what got it for me was Cody. When they said Cody, he goes,
I know.
A little dog bark.
And oh, I know. That shit had me rolling.
Next thing you know, Jay was like, yeet.
I don't know what they was doing or what they were sipping on, but
they were sipping on some good stuff in the ride over to the press conference, I would say. But yeah, I was definitely surprised when I seen that. I was not expecting that at all. To change hands like it.
So now where does the tag team that they beat, how does that come back into play?
That's a good question. With Judgment Day?
Yeah. I drew a quick blank.
I don't know. Because then again,
are they going to get the tag teams back here in a couple weeks? Or
there's been rumors of them slowly trying to demolished the Judgment Day in creative wise, breaking them up. I think this might be the first domino with Damian and Finn losing their championships. I think you're going to have it be a situation where at some point in the near future, they're all going to not have championships. And the only one that's going to have an option for a championship is Damian Priest because of his Money in the Bank situation. I don't know. I don't know where this leads them. It kind of felt to me, it reminded me kind of like WrestleMania 34 when Braun Strowman picked up that random 10-year-old kid to be his tag team partner. You know, it's like you had two non-established and pretty much a non-established tag team just beat you for the gold. I think this is, like I said, the first domino in the fall of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I think so too. But like, I would love to see if something would happen from that.
Oh yeah,
I mean, actually, just be like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's get our chance. Let's get our titles back.
Oh yeah, because like I told you, like this was the second. This was like the backup to the Bloodline. This was the fallback, and now that you kind of have your second biggest faction without belts, it's stupid to me, and I don't like it. I'm just going to be flat out. I mean, I've always been not that big of a fan of a Cody, so you can call me a Cody hater. You can call me a
whatever. You don't like Cody? Man.
Not a big fan of him.
I've always liked him. I've liked him since, what the hell was that team? I liked him in, when he was with Randy Orton and Ted DiBiase Jr.
Evolution.
Yes.
Evolution. Was it Evolution?
Yes.
No, Evolution was
Ric Flair.
Yeah, Ric Flair,
Triple Orton, H,
Batista, and Triple H.
Yeah.
That was shit. I can't even remember the name of that, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, with him, Ted DiBiase Jr. and
yes,
Orton. Yes, that was he was good then, but you know, I just felt like the spoiled attitude throughout his entire life, you know, kind of thing where I'm Dusty's kid type thing and.
Yeah, but he's earned that. I mean,
he has earned that shit. But too. Yeah, I don't know. It's to a certain point where it's like, I think because of the situation and how he left AEW for WWE, and how he didn't want to turn heel. That was his biggest thing: is he didn't want to turn heel. He wanted to always be a babyface because he has a daughter now, and he just wants to be that good guy. And I think when Cody was best, in my opinion, is when he was a heel.
You know, I agree there.
He drew so much heel heat that it was crazy. Remember when he broke his nose and had to wear that stupid little face protector and he made people in the stands cover their faces with bags? He was over.
Oh, dude. God. That was
completely okay, over.
I remember that shit. Yes, yes.
He was over then, dude. He was getting the heel heat. He was having people even show up to matches willingly, just putting bags over their head when they see him and shit, you know? It's crazy because, you know, the fans were loving that shit. And now it's just like, I feel like the only reason why they love Cody right now in WWE is because of what he did and left for AEW for WWE. Because you have a lot of fans that can't stand AEW and love WWE. And then you have vice versa, the AEW fans who can't stand WWE. I'm in the middle.
I mean, that's all the same damn thing.
Yeah, I'm just happy that we have wrestling still in 2023.
Yeah, no shit.
So I mean
if we didn't have wrestling, we wouldn't be here doing our show. So
exactly. But I think I'm just gonna move on from the Cody thing because I think, you know,
yeah,
I talked too much about him. I'm getting sick now. I'm just joking. yeah, exactly. Match two, we had Latino World Order take on Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits and six-man tag team.
Well, you already knew the Latino Order was going to win. You already knew that.
Well, not just that, but guess who made his long-awaited return to
motherfucking
the squared circle?
Carlito.
Yes, sir.
I loved him back, bro. The bite in the apple. Oh my God. It was so disrespectful.
The people who don't want to be cool,
but I loved it.
It was awesome. I'm glad that he was back. This is his first appearance, since Backlash in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, he come back there for a hot second.
Yeah, this was his first appearance. So I don't know if this means a long-term contract or if he's signed to a Legends contract, which would mean when they call, you show up. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's used going forward, like, or if this is just a, like a one-time thing and then done again.
Right. I think he's going to stick around for a little bit because I feel like he's missed it.
Oh yeah, not just that, but I think the fans actually missed it too.
Because, oh, I missed that dude. He was so disrespectful, but I love
exactly, it. Dude. It's like when his music hit, he got a pop instantly, no matter what. And you know, I spit in the faces of the people who don't want to be cool. You know.
You know who I really want to come back.
Hmm.
Santino Marella.
He's an impact. He's an impact.
No. Oh my God. Now I got to start.
I shit you not. You know, he's an impact. Yeah. And he has the Cobra too.
Say that again.
He has the Cobra too.
Oh. And now I have to watch TNA. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think you can honestly find them on YouTube. I think they upload their weekly shows on YouTube now too. So they're trying to become easily accessible for everyone. But speaking of Impact, I mean, he was at this little show that had a lot of Impact wrestlers back in Battle Creek last year. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, my stepdad.
Carlito made an appearance at last year's, which I was at that one. I was at the one, and he was out there with his apple, and he got, I think, honestly, he got the biggest pop of the night out of all the former superstars that were there.
The one that was a couple weeks ago, my stepdad and my mom went to because my
I wanted to go that forever.
I didn't even know it was there. I would have tried to go, but
not only the ticket price from last year, but they also upped the date. Because last year it was around Halloween. It was Halloween weekend. And this year it was somewhere around there. And I went to last year, and I would love to go to this year because we had they had RVD.
Wrestling.
So I really wanted to see that, but ticket prices were way too crazy, and I was like, maybe next year.
Beautiful.
So, he still had it that night, and he was hearing fans chant, "You still got it." So it's gonna be interesting to see, like I said, how they use Carlito going forward.
This is very true. But I'm a big Carlito fan. I loved it.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, Carlito.
I'm glad he's back. Was awesome as long as he is.
And I think I once heard him be compared to a broke man's Razor Ramon because of all the old school vignettes that Razor Ramon had, and then all the old vignettes that Carlito did. It was kind of like a copy and paste.
Yes.
And people were like, "Yeah, he's just a poor man's Razor."
Yeah.
But match three, moving on down the card, we had Io Sky retain her WWE Women's Championship in a fatal three-way against Charlotte and Asuka.
Charlotte, I didn't really want Charlotte to win.
No, I didn't either. Like I told you, but I think in the previous episode, I was like, if anything, I would like to see Io retain or Asuka win. And they did the right thing. I had Io retain, and so far I'm liking her defense, even though it did come from the help of Bayley. I think Bayley actually needed to right her wrong because she is the one that accepted that fatal three way because she didn't know how to speak Japanese and thought she translated it well and accepted it. So we had I read a comment online about this match that kind of actually it was on YouTube that kind of made me laugh, and because it's true, especially towards this part of her career, Charlotte either puts on a show or shits the bed.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
And I said, man, that comment is spot on because if she actually wants to be in that match, she will tear the house down.
She will work her ass off. Exactly. I've seen a few matches that she's just shit the bed, and it's like, bro,
she will literally turn into Rick and freaking burn the house down with that match. And then you have a fatal three-way, and she's like, maybe not as good, not into it.
I don't understand why they keep doing the fatal three. It doesn't. I don't like the fatal three ways. I don't. The three way. I don't like those. Like, I don't know.
Honestly, I think for me in that situation where it's a fatal three way, I don't care for anything fatal like that, because the champion doesn't have to get pinned. It could be anybody.
Yep.
And it's just like, that's one of the things where I think for a championship match, I don't like it. For like a normal match, you know, with nothing on the line, it's okay. But even then, that's stupid, you know, because you have nothing to fight for, really. Just three guys beating the shit out of each other until one gets a pinfall. But yeah, I'm just glad that Io retained. I'm liking her defense so far. I picked Asuka, but you know, it is what it is. Io picked.
I was gonna either be Asuka or her retaining, but wasn't. I knew it was gonna be Charlotte. I already knew that.
Yeah, I mean Charlotte. Like I said, I don't like her anymore. I think she needs to take like a more of like a backstage role at this point.
She needs to take like a mentor type of role.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because she's one of the original four horsewomen of NXT. If you look at them now, they're all starting to slowly fade into that mentor role. I mean, Bayley, she's fallen into that. I think the only one that really hasn't is, well, I shouldn't say that then, because they're all still currently active. The other two are with, what's her name? Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Becoming NXT Women's Champion. And then you have Mercedes Monet, which was Sasha Banks. She was doing some decent work over in Japan until she lost her championship. So I think for Charlotte, I think they're going to try as hard as possible to try to get her up to her dad's numbers. I think probably soon you'll probably see her with the strap, but I don't agree with it.
I don't really agree with it either. But
I think the last good match that she actually had that was of a fatal three-way in that type of match was at WrestleMania 35 when she lost her title to Becky Lynch.
Yes,
fatal three-way women's all.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Moving on to match four with Cena and LA Knight taking on Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso with a very, may I add, very gray Paul Heyman.
You already knew Cena in LA Knight was going to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you knew because, like I said before, it's the passing of the torch between Cena and LA Knight. It's one of those things where I think that Cena is trying to put down, but put over LA Knight. Since LA Knight is getting this huge ass push from the WWE, I think that he's, like I said, passing the torch. He did it not WrestleMania, but what was it, SummerSlam, when he was guest referee?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you don't have to like me, but I respect you. That's what he told LA Knight, and that's when they shook hands and things like that. So I think there's that mutual respect, and I think that going forward, you're going to see a lot of LA Knight.
And yeah.
I'm not going to be saying that he's going to be beating Roman for the straps and getting that, but I think
anytime soon, but they're going to
build. But not just that, but when the bloodline entire thing finally dissolves and you finally get the new champion in, then I think that's when you're going to see LA Knight on that main event status
going forward. Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman with his gray hair in that match, you know, he's getting a lot more gray. So I think that's a sign to start ending this entire angle with the bloodline. Because if you've seen it, I mean, we've been talking about the bloodline for almost 4 years now.
I'm tired of the bloodline. Can we just crash it already?
And that's my time span. You've seen Paul Heyman go from black to gray. That's how you know you need to start ending it.
Can we, like, be done with the shit? God damn it. My brain just...
Can we just be done with the bloodline?
Yeah, yes. 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 I was mixing up the two tags.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Can we just be done with the bloodline already? Like, it was cool. I loved it. The first 2 years, awesome. Amazing. Cool.
Exactly.
But then it just started running its course. It's like, yo, all right, be done with it now.
Not just that, but I think you're also getting fans that were sick and tired of Jimmy, Jay, and Solo always running interference for Roman to win. I mean, I was so pissed off when Sammy finally got his chance at that championship in his hometown and pretty much got screwed.
Yeah.
Pretty that much got screwed. As well. I mean, that was the Montreal screw job part due. But here's a little fun note going for you. LA Knight, of the time that he appeared in Fastlane, was 1 year removed from his terrible Max Dupree gimmick for the Maximum Male Models. And he also had that terrible pitch black match against Bray Wyatt.
Oh, that pitch black match was so fucking stupid. It made me so mad.
And now he's having banger after banger of matches, and he got the endorsement for Cena. But my biggest issue is, will the fans still love him and still support him and still give him that push if he loses a big match?
I think so. Truthfully, I think he will. I mean, you got to lose some, too. You got to lose some and
Yeah, you definitely got to. But it's like, I just don't want it to be like one of those types of things where it was like Kofi Mania, you know, where Kofi at WrestleMania 35 was getting this huge ass push, and then he finally wins the championship. October 6th, the premiere of SmackDown on...
just to get it ripped away from him. Yeah, that made me so...
The premiere of SmackDown on Fox, he gets F5 once, and he gets pinned. 6-second match.
You don't know, like, that upset me. I was like, why not give him a chance?
Exactly. I mean, granted, he had a decent title reign. He had decent defenses, but it's like for Brock Lesnar just to come out of nowhere with his music hitting and performing one F5 and covering him for the win, that made him look weak as hell.
I'm trying to log in to something.
No, dude. You're good. It's just like, I just hope that some situation like that doesn't happen, not necessarily with him with the championship, but something like a match like that happens, and then he's just kind of pushed to the back.
Or yeah, this is true.
We don't or release due to budget cuts.
Yeah.
And now we moved on to the main event of Fastlane, a match that I thought could have been the best match of the night. Strictly based on my fantasy booking of Damian Priest cashing in his Money in the Bank contract. We've seen Seth Rollins retain his World Heavyweight Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura in a Last Man Standing match. A lot of people in the wrestling community was expecting Priest to cash in. I'm not
gonna lie, I was seeing it everywhere.
I was seeing it everywhere. People were like, yeah, Priest is cashing in tonight. Priest is cashing in. And next thing you know, Rollins retains.
It just doesn't make sense, I guess.
I just want to bring up the fact that, you know, do you like the idea of having a Last Man Standing match, not just for the championship, but as your main event?
No.
Because it seems like it only pulls in people when someone gets a table, someone gets a kendo stick, something, a weapon of some sort, and just goes absolutely off on them. That keeps them entertained for about a few seconds. And then the near fatal 8 count when the person's just getting up, that gets them back involved. But other than that, it's just a lot of people just sitting around watching and no excitement going on whatsoever for them. They're not giving you that pop and all that. It's like at certain moments. And, you know, for wrestlers, that throws them off their game a little bit. That throws them off their – because wrestlers, they work off of a crowd. And if a crowd can't give you anything, you're not going to get anything in back in return for it.
Oh, excuse me. I don't know what the hell that was. But yes, this is very true.
But I mean, you just got to keep. I don't know. It bugs me that they would have that as a main event. Honestly, if I had to pick one to be the main event, it would have been the tag team match, probably.
That
probably was one of the best matches of the night, even though I didn't agree with it.
This is very true, and I agree with you there 100%. Like, I liked that match, but it's like, could have been better.
It left you wanting more. It left you actually wanting that cash in, yes, or something else to happen, or someone making their debut or return or anything like that. It wanted you, like, it just seemed like it didn't pull me in enough. And I think that if you did have the Priest cash in, it would have been a lot better of a match, and I think that probably match would have been probably match of the night.
This is very true. It could have been.
How much longer do you think Priest is going to hold on to that briefcase? It seemed like they're having him set in on Seth Rollins for his belt. He's definitely not cashing in on Roman. I can guarantee you that.
I would love to see him cash in on Roman. That'd be awesome.
That would be. He's got about 260 days left on his.
Think he might hold it for a while more.
Oh yeah, I think he will. I mean, what pay-per-view event do you think he'll cash in on?
WrestleMania.
I'm thinking of Mania too. I mean, they already did the heist of the century, WrestleMania 31.
Yes.
So, I mean, this could be another situation where it's the heist of the century, even though you no longer have the money in the bank during WrestleMania, like that WrestleMania. But yeah, honestly, I thought this pay-per-view was definitely a filler for next month's Crown Jewel, which is WWE's, like I said, next pay-per-view event. That's Saturday, November 4th. Be prepared to wake up at like 10:30 in the morning to watch some wrestling.
It's 10:30 in the morning?
Yeah, because they're having it over in Saudi Arabia. They're filming it live, and we get to watch it live at like 10:30, 11 in the morning.
Jesus Christ, man.
I'm barely woke up by that time.
I'm probably in bed, exactly. Crawling into bed right then.
Unless, you working that third shift life, you know.
I'm crawling into bed then, not even getting up. So I don't know if I'll be watching it.
So far, at time of recording, we have one match that has been announced for that pay-per-view event. And that will be Seth Rollins defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. The Scottish
Path.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. They're actually making a big, they're giving Drew a decent silent push almost in a way. There was actually plans that were scrapped for him and Riddle to actually tag up and be a tag team.
I'm not going to lie. I liked Riddle. I loved Riddle. That dude was wildly awesome.
He was a modern day RVD, let's just put it that way.
yeah
in more ways than one, if you know what I mean too.
Yes, this is true. I mean, I'm not mad at him.
Yeah, while Fastlane was going on, AEW also had its Saturday show, AEW Collision. It was airing around the same time as the pay-per-view, so not a lot of people were watching it. We only had one thing of big note that came from that, and that was AEW crown new tag team champions by having FTR drop the belts to Big Bill and Ricky Starks.
I vaguely remember that because apparently I didn't even watch that. I didn't even turn it on. So
I didn't really watch it either. I just skimmed through it and I was like, hey, we got new tag team champions. But, this was, in fact, due to Cash Wheeler having an injury that will require him to miss a decent amount of time going forward.
Well, so what the hell, Cash? Don't be getting hurt.
Hey, I'm the one that's usually jinxing people here. You know, I jinxed Rey Fénix, so.
How about let's just stop jinxing people, damn it.
I mean, Cody Rhodes is going to win the World Heavyweight Championship from Seth Rollins, and he's going to have three championship belts. There, I cursed him.
You know what? I'll take that curse. I'll take that curse all day, every day.
You may know Big Bill as a former name in WWE. Why? Because he's 7 foot tall and you can't teach that. Bada boom, how you doing? This was Big Cass. It's nice to see Big Bill actually have a championship now. I mean, since he's battled so many of his own personal demons with alcoholism and painkillers, it's nice to see him actually get back on the right track. Jeff Hardy, take note. That's how you get your life back on track.
I mean, bro, it's easier said than done.
It definitely is. I'm just, you know, bashing Hardy just for a second. I mean, I'm surprised that Jey Uso didn't get a DUI going home from that press conference.
Right. But, I mean, it's easier said than done getting off the sauce.
I mean, I'm glad that he did, and you know, AEW rewarded him for it. I see this tag team not lasting as long for their belts, but it's nice to see him actually with some gold after being released from the WWE.
Yeah, that's awesome.
following this, people were thinking FTR's contracts were about ready to be up, or the possibility of them jumping ship to WWE. But it's pointed out that their contracts are set to expire in 2027. The reason being is Dax Harwood took to X and posted a message and said, "Top guys out." If you've known FTR from their days back in WWE, they have always said "top guys out." In any interview, any promo, they've always said "top guys out." People were looking into this way too much. And it also didn't help with speculations that CM Punk was in talks with WWE about a possible return. And FTR went ahead and trademarked CMFTR, which was the trio's tag team of FTR and CM Punk.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I can't. Yeah, it was.
Just for that short time for that trios run that they wanted to get the championships. As far as, like I said, the Punk rumors that I just mentioned, so far they're not true. WWE has came out and said, "Yeah, we were in talks, but we decided not to sign at this point in time." Pretty much.
I don't think that's true. I'm sorry.
Especially with WWE, there's a never say no. There's a no such thing as a firm no. Let's just put it that way.
I think they're going to like bring him back out of nowhere and shock the world.
Well, what they're saying is Survivor Series is in Chicago. So everybody's saying it's Chicago, it's CM Punk. They're going to bring him back. AEW, when he signed with AEW, where did they bring him back at? Chicago. Where did CM Punk retain his last WWE championship? Chicago.
Yes.
All doors for CM Punk run through Chicago. Let's just say that way. But I am also hearing reports that if WWE was to bring back CM Punk, he would also have to mend a lot of relationships in that locker room with individuals like Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, just to name a few. I know he's had personal beef with AJ Styles too, so he would have to mend a lot of bridges to come back. And I don't think that the WWE at that point in time would want a half-ass apology. I think it would be a full-on sincere apology that they want, you know?
Right.
Sorry, especially, especially when they had the WWE 2K23 release and they're talking to Seth Rollins about CM Punk possibly at that point in time leaving AEW. And he said, "Stay away. He's a cancer. You know, he doesn't want him in that locker room." So I don't think that that was a shoot. I think that was honestly his honest opinions about him.
Everybody give everybody a second chance is what I say sometimes in certain situations.
Like what Booker T said, WWE fired him and AEW fired him with cause. Why would WWE want that?
Right.
Because he did have two locker room fights within a span of 1 year.
This is very true.
I think it's just him losing his cool. I mean, it was a few weeks ago, he made his first television appearance since being released from AEW, and that was to call MMA matches for some little promotion, and he was on the broadcast team for that. So I think if anything, he'll go back to doing some type of broadcasting, either for a wrestling promotion or for a MMA promotion. Oh, or he'll do like a show like what he had on FS1 where he was with Renee Young, Booker T, and Paige for, you know, SmackDown. Other news, Nia Jax recently posted on Twitter, no pictures, no autographs. Don't ask me. I'm sick of you two-faced trolls. Now, I understand where she's coming from. Multiple superstars like Rey Mysterio have been known to voice their opinion on situations where they're bombarded with us crazy superfans wanting autographs and wanting pictures, then to sign multiples of pictures and figures, trading cards, things of that nature. I mean, I get where she's coming from. She wants her privacy as much as the next person does. And I think that when you know that you're going to be there and you see a whole bunch of items, you know, I would say no too. But if I see a little kid run up to me with a little poster or whatever, I'm signing that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I'm signing that. I'm not saying no to that. I think superstars of that nature, they have the ability to say no and yes to whoever they please. But I think that would be the situation in which I would approach it if I was a superstar.
Yeah, but for sure.
Just as flat out, just say no, no pictures, no autographs. I mean, this is actually just breaking news to me because the fact is I didn't realize Nia Jax actually had fans.
Ha!
I mean, I just thought she was just going
I just thought she was going off of
what Ray, like a previous tweet that Ray tweeted out a few years ago or some shit, you know, like retweeted this. Hey, yeah, I don't need. No one's searching eBay for a Nia Jax autograph.
I mean, clearly somebody is.
I mean, if you are, I bet you they go for about $1, $1.50.
You boho. That's not nice.
I'm just saying what I'm saying. I mean, I bet you if you buy that autograph, I bet you when you receive it, you will instantly be injured.
That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, man. Can't come into work today. Why? I got an autograph of Nia Jax that injured me.
That's funny, man.
And other news, according to our very reliable sources at Pro Wrestler Insider Elite, it looks like AEW is silently lifting Jack Perry's indefinite suspension, stating that AEW higher-ups believe that the longer Jack is away from TV, the more time it will pass and people will forget about the CM Punk backstage incident. Perry's last match, seeing him finish off his angle against Hook at All In, so there would be no rush to bring Perry back on TV. Do you think that they will repackage him when he comes back to bring him back as a face, since he was absolute shit as a heel, especially on the mic?
Yeah, I think they may give him a second chance and let him figure it out.
I mean,
help him walk through it and help him see what's going on, you know?
Exactly. I mean, he was one of the young pillars, too, as it was when AEW first started. Him, MJF, Darby Allin, and Hangman Adam Page,
yeah,
they were the future of AEW. So I think for Jack, I think he just needs to practice on his promos. He draws the heel heat as it is, but I don't know if that's because people don't like him as a heel and they're just booing the shit out of him just to boo, or what the deal is, but I loved him as a face. It would be interesting to see if they do repackage him, especially given how much time will be in between each appearance that he's had. But I could see him making a return to help Adam Copeland against Christian and Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne, because, you know, he's had Luchasaurus was his old tag team partner. And he couldn't stand Christian Cage when he was a face. So, I mean, it only makes sense. The more help that Edge has, or Adam Copeland, I should say, has, the more better it is. Up. Hey, I could slip up. I'm not paid by the WWE or AEW. I don't have to be on my social medias at Vogel_WWE. But, yeah, I could see him definitely making his return. There was also rumors saying that in a vignette, he was dressed up as MJF when MJF does his devil persona type thing where he wears the devil mask, that he was in there when he attacked MJF like a few weeks back. But I don't think that's the case. I don't see why he would want to set up a match out of nowhere with MJF. And I mean, wrestling doesn't make sense sometimes, but it doesn't have to.
Wrestling doesn't make sense a lot of the time, but hey, we're still fans of it and we run with it.
So. I mean, especially like at what we were talking about earlier with Santino Marella and Nicole.
Oh my God, I miss him.
That makes no sense whatsoever, but people sold the shit out of it, you know?
Bro, he sold the shit out of it.
Who was it? Shad Gaspard, who, part of Crime Time, when he got hit, he just froze and he just went. Like he got tased and he fell down. that's how people were selling it, dude.
I love it though. I love how little weird shit can just sell.
Exactly. And it's just crazy. I mean, it, like we said, it doesn't have to make sense. It never makes sense, but we love it.
This is very true.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, our main event. In this corner from Orlando, Florida, we have NXT and the challenger on a Turner Broadcasting fumble from Jacksonville, Florida. We have AEW Dynamite. That's right. Poet didn't even know it. NXT and AEW will be we're facing off on Tuesday night for the first time since 2019 when they were both on Wednesday night.
This is very true.
AEW had the better ratings during that span in 2019, which forced WWE to move the Black and Gold brand back to Tuesday nights. But this episode of NXT was different. Why? Because Triple H and HBK busted out all the stops.
They overly stacked it, and
oh, yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't care for it.
I mean, I'm in the same boat as you. Here's all the main roster people that you had pop up that I just glanced over. There could have been more. There could have been less. I don't know. But this is all who I remember seeing there: Asuka, Cody Rhodes, Dirty Dom and the Judgment Day. Hey, that makes for an awesome band name right there, dude.
Dirty Dom. It really does, though.
I'm trademarking that shit. And LA Knight as a special guest referee. You also see appearances by legends Cena and The Undertaker.
That was wild. What the hell?
I'm with you, though. I thought it was overdone. It more or less, for me, felt like an anniversary show. You know how they had like all the legends come up, like a Raw 30 or Raw 25, you know, where they had all these people and they didn't really have set storyline matches. I mean, yeah, I'm not the biggest NXT person. I don't watch NXT really religiously like people have.
I do not either. I don't know anything about NXT, so.
I mean, I used to watch it a lot. Of course, that's when, like, Big E was down there, Seth Rollins was down there. That's after they transitioned from, like, Ohio Valley Wrestling and Florida Gulf Coast, or Florida Coastal Wrestling, or whatever it was, or Florida Championship Wrestling, whatever the fuck they called themselves before NXT.
Right,
but that's where I was more familiar with, was more like that. But now, I mean, I can maybe name like a handful of NXT superstars, and I think that that's also doing bad for the WWE, is because you will want people to watch this brand, but yet you're sending all your main roster talent. Well, not all of them, but the big draws.
You're sending most of your big talent down to the smaller show, which
exactly,
and hopes of getting the smaller show. You're not giving the talent a push. You're just like,
oh, no, you're not.
You're moving these people like chess pawns.
It's stupid because you had a match on NXT this Tuesday that was Asuka versus Roxanne Perez. That match only lasted 6 minutes, and Asuka ended up winning it, but the match itself felt entirely rushed. Neither woman was able to pull out their entire arsenal, or nowhere near their half of their arsenal even. And it's the situation where Roxanne, she's the younger NXT talent. I would have loved to see Asuka, especially since Asuka's in her early 40s, put over someone like Roxanne.
Yes, like, I agree, because
it would almost, I think nowadays you don't see it too often because you don't have that wrestler who would be okay with that. Back in the day, we used to have the older wrestlers that would be like, you know, hey, why not put this guy over? We've seen it with Razor Ramon on, I think it was one of the first episodes of Monday Night Raw. He put over 1-2-3 Kid, who was supposed to be a jobber at that point in time.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting really hot, really famous, and ended up becoming, what the hell was his name? X-Pac, you know?
This is very true. Holy shit, I forgot about that.
So it's like, why not have some of these younger stars put over, not younger stars, but the older stars put over younger stars, especially in NXT, when you're essentially redeveloping it as a developmental brand. 5 years ago, we were talking NXT possibly being the third brand, and now you're rebranding it to developmental. how are these young superstars going to learn if all they're doing is going into a big match? Yes, you learn the in-ring skills from this opponent, but what does losing to this opponent do to you? It does nothing but make you feel like shit. You know, like,
yeah, oh, absolutely. You want to build them up, not beat them down.
It's like, then you start wondering, whose ass do I have to kiss more to get a title shot or to get, you know, pushed more? And it's definitely, you know, if I was one of them in NXT, it would definitely be discouraging for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're bringing all these big people down. Now it's like, okay, so where do I say I'm at the bottom? I'm just going to keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed to the bottom because of all these top names are above my head. Now, where is this corporate ladder at?
Exactly.
How do I get up this ladder if I keep getting pushed, kicked back down?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's definitely, I think that's the reason why you see a lot of these. Well, I mean, that's why you've seen Adam Cole jump from NXT to AEW because he knew he wasn't going to get that main roster call up anytime soon. He knew he was going to be stuck in NXT for probably the longest time. Yeah, he had some appearances on the main roster, but it was like a one-off match or a storyline with somebody real quick, and it was finished within 1 month.
Yes.
AEW, on the other hand, had the in-ring debut of Adam Copeland taking on Luchasaurus.
But, so, I've read into it, and... Jesus Christ, I just did it. Motherfucker.
You can call him Edge. We all know who we're talking about.
Adam Copeland, it didn't even help the ratings, like, at all, whatsoever. It didn't really help.
Well, how's it going to help when you have The Undertaker and Cena?
Well, yeah, I guess so, but... Like, I was reading into it, I'm like, yeah, well, you only got one cookie compared to... you got an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie over here, which is an okay cookie sometimes every now and then, every once in a great while. But then you got like macadamia nut cookies over here that I can eat at all times, any goddamn given moment that you're gonna give me one, I'm gonna eat it.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I get it, but it's like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, and
I know those cookies aren't for everybody, but those are my cookies, so whatever.
But also on AEW, you had not only one but three championship matches that night too.
This is true.
At the end of the night, though, if we want to talk ratings and try to make this ratings war, like,
it's about, it was about 300,000 viewers off of NXT.
Yeah, yep, and they won the ratings.
They were shitting all over, but really, come on now. That was, for a wrestling fan, bro, it's
hard.
Too much.
Well, not just that, it was hard, you know?
I couldn't keep up.
Like, I mean, it's crazy because, you know, as a wrestling fan, especially when a promotion like NXT is on as the same night as Dynamite, it doesn't happen very often. Like I said, it was a scheduling mishap between Turner Broadcasting, and that's why they had it. That's why they moved to Tuesday night this week. With that being said, you know, if you looked at the original Wednesday night war, well, I mean, not the original, because the original was the Monday night, but the Wednesday night wars between AEW and NXT, AEW had majority of those weeks and ratings.
Yeah,
I think it's just the nostalgia factor. Like I said, it felt more of an anniversary show than anything.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like the AEW storyline, with the exception of probably the Powerhouse Hobbs and Jericho match, because fuck Jericho, he's so old. They're all decent matches, and I think to have those decent matches, and along with your top prize of the women's championship belt changing hands from Saraya, formerly known as Paige, to Sheeta. And then you had Orange Cassidy taking John Moxley's place to win back the AEW International Championship from Rey Fénix. So you're building storylines. And it just felt to me like NXT was essentially, like I said before, that casual one-off show to try to get people who religiously watch SmackDown or Raw to try to tune in to NXT and view their product.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And I also didn't like the idea too of Heyman possibly representing Bron Breakker, aka Scott Steiner, not Scott, but one of the Steiner brothers kids.
He was
gonna try to be like that new manager. It's like, dude, finish up the bloodline. They tried
take care of the bloodline real quick and then find another promotion to run.
If you look at it too, they already tried this already with Brock Lesnar. Remember where he had that controversy? He left Roman Reigns for a little bit and went and managed Brock Lesnar and then turned on Lesnar.
That really pissed me off. I hated that promotion. I hated it.
We could see something like that. I mean, Bron Breakker is due for a main roster call up. So, I mean, never say never. But then again, at that same time, in that exact same NXT episode, you had Paul Heyman meeting with Ava Rain. And who's Ava Rain? The Rock's daughter, who's in NXT.
Fuck, I forgot The Rock's daughter was in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's more green than Jade Cargill is, and they just brought in Jade Cargill and made her into the main roster. I hope that they don't bring her into the bloodline, because then that means that we're at least another 6 fucking months of this storyline.
I just need to smash it. Just need to smash it
because Paul Heyman handed her a phone, and on the back of the phone it said the bloodline on it. And I'm just like, dude, no. I mean, I understand she's The Rock's daughter, and if this is trying to set up Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania,
I'm please, sorry, but we don't need that. We don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need that. I like The Rock. He can come back every now and then, but we don't need The Rock versus Roman. We need Roman versus like a new Cody. Competitor coming
honestly,
up.
It has honestly, I think the only person that beats him is Cody, and that kills me to say it.
Yeah, but Cody's what, 5'10", and Roman Reigns is like 7 foot tall. Tell me how that's
Rey Mysterio, 5'6".
Well, yeah,
and Great Khali, 7'1" or some shit. Go on.
But you got to be more realistic. You got to kind of be realistic with it.
Remember, it doesn't have to make sense. We'll still watch it.
I guess.
But overall, I mean, NXT, they did a good job. Like I said, getting the WWE fans that might not necessarily watch NXT, they did a good job of catering to them to try to get their eyes on the black and gold brand. And then you kind of expected Cody to make an announcement. And that announcement was the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic is back for NXT after being gone away for a few years, because Cody went on this entire power trip of wanting to get his entire name back, because WWE owned the rights to the name Rhodes because of Dusty.
I'm not mad at him for wanting to get the rights back to his name. Hell no. You want that? Go get it.
When he wrestled all of the independent before they founded, before him and everybody, well, before Tony Khan set up AEW, he was going by just Cody throughout all these promotions. And then finally, when he got the rights to the Rhodes name back, that's when he started going by Cody Rhodes. And then,
he was
real bitter.
I remember
about
that
it.
Now.
Yeah, he was real bitter about it, and that's why NXT and the WWE quit having the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
Okay, I didn't realize that, but I do remember him going by Cody.
Yes.
Back when he was Stardust, which I honestly I loved that. I loved it. I don't care. You can shit on me all you want. I like that.
His career, dude. That killed his run in WWE, dude.
I like that because he was a part of the show Arrow. And that was cool as fuck that he was a part of that, because it was one of my favorite shows at the time. So,
well, then you fast forward a few years later after his Arrow appearance at the first ever All In. And you had Stephen Armel make his debut. In-ring debut against Christopher Daniels.
Yes, that was so sick. I miss WWE. That was one of the best matches. They need to start bringing back the special guest
GMs.
GM, yes.
Oh my god, no.
Yes, I need that. That made it spiced up more. That was like
If you're gonna do it that way, why not just do what was it? The match roulette wheel.
Fuck it, we can do that way too.
Matches, as a match.
Win the wheel.
We're gonna have Eric Bischoff back, and we're gonna have all these old ass fuckers that are back in the.
We're gonna have Vince McMahon versus Rey Mysterio. No, Vince McMahon versus Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, you see, I mean, you've seen how Vince took that stunner at last at the WrestleMania in Dallas. I mean, he botched that motherfucker. I thought he was going to need a new hip after that. But yeah, like I said, I think WWE did a good job to cater to the WWE fans that necessarily don't watch NXT. AEW did a good job advancing their storylines for their wrestlers. I think, honestly, as wrestling fans, we just need to appreciate the wrestling content when we can, you know, when we can get it.
I'm sorry, this is very true. I'm sending you something right now that I think is pretty damn dope.
And it's like, for me, I don't think, do you think that this entire, I seen that. Yeah, the entire.
Bro, I'm excited for this because
yes.
This is a big side note. I've been to the Shameless house. It was such, it's so fucking dope.
But I'm excited just for the story, the movie itself, honestly, because of, not just because of the actors, but just because, you know, Kerry Von Erich, he was such a force to be reckoned with in the Texas area.
Yes.
For promotion wise, he was the be all end all. That entire.
I'm actually really excited to see this.
Oh yeah, I am too. Especially when you have MJF too in there from
AEW. Yeah, Zach. Okay, this is side note. You got Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, and it says
MJF.
MJF.
Yeah,
which
from AEW.
You know what? Fuck it. I'll give it a bite. I'll go see it.
I might. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Like a pretty good movie.
I might end up catching it on HBO maybe if it's exactly. on there. But yeah. I'm not a theater guy, so.
Oh no! No, I haven't been for a while since COVID and all that shit.
I mean, I'll go every once in a while if it's something I really want to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I'm not paying ticket prices plus an expensive ass concession
price. That's why you just put shit in your pockets, bud.
I'm 5'7". Yeah. I weigh 180 pounds. If they see a guy come in with of my stature looking like he's weighing like 400 pounds, they're going to start questioning shit.
I'm 5'11", and I can hide some shit in my pockets.
Oh, yeah. Pockets. I mean, well yeah, you can. I can't. It just looks goofy on me. But however, with all this stuff that's going down with this episode of NXT, I just don't want this becoming a full-time gimmick for NXT, where they're constantly having main roster people and legends come back to try to boost.
I really think it was just to just to fight AEW, truthfully. Yeah. Just for this week.
Just to get that one last jab in. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you want this war type shit. Even though they don't say that they're in a war. The way Tony Khan takes the X, you know, they're in a war.
I don't have Twitter, so I can't pay attention to that. I can't
pay attention to it either. I just see it on my news feed for like on my phone because my phone like knows that I like wrestling, I guess. So it shows me.
Yeah, like, for real though. Things, like lately, like, that's jumping on my phone is wrestling.
Yeah,
wrestling, like, football.
Yeah, like I just opened up my phone. It's like so and so does this or possible return. I'm like,
oh, something about CM Punk wrestling and then football. Yep.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, that's the time of the year, I guess. Yeah, but I think that it's a good time to be a wrestling fan, and I think we should just enjoy it while we can.
Oh yes, enjoy every minute of it. Although there's a few of them I don't really necessarily care for. We can still appreciate that this is part of our nostalgia, and we just sit back and enjoy it.
Yep. Sometimes nostalgia can only go so far. I think, you know, it was nice to see some of these older wrestlers back, but then again, it's like, give me something that, you know, we can really sink our teeth in too.
I did go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm pretty much finished. I forgot what I was going to say anyways.
It was going I did down, like how they brought the Undertaker back as the American Badass. That made that made me happy because I missed
I mean, if you look at it, his last WrestleMania that he was a part of, he did that gimmick of the American Badass because it was a graveyard match. I think that's what they called it, a graveyard match or some shit. I can't remember. It was with him, AJ Styles, and the OC. So, yeah, I mean.
Holy shit. That's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. That was COVID era, dude. That was when they had the two nights, and that's when there was at the performance center.
Yes, yes, yes. TVs, that was so garbage.
It wasn't garbage because it was like the sun. You know how you're not supposed to look at the sun, but yet you can't help but to look at the sun? That's what
it was.
That you couldn't stop watching it, honestly.
But it was like that show. I know you watched it. I'm sure you have watched it. Tiger King. It was such a train wreck. Honestly, it was such a fucking train wreck, and I couldn't look away.
That's the one thing of COVID that I didn't watch.
Well, the first week of COVID, they laid a bunch of us off. I'm like, you know what? Let me give it a watch. Such a train wreck, but I couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah, and that's how it is sometimes. I mean, especially with wrestling in general. Sometimes it's a train wreck. We just can't stop watching. We plugged through one train wreck this week with Fastlane. So I mean, I guess we're just gonna have to plug through the other one, which is the other pay per view event, Saudi Arabia. I guess we're gonna have to power through that next month.
I'm gonna have to power through that one if I even watch it. Honestly,
it's one of the pay per view matches.
When is that again?
It is, I do believe, November 4th.
November. I was thinking December for some reason.
No, December, that's Survivor Series.
This is true. It's
always Survivor Series. Yeah, I think, let me see in my notes. I think it's, November 4th. It's a Saturday.
November 4th.
So, yeah, they're going to be flying over to Saudi Arabia. I don't like the Saudi Arabia pay-per-views. I'm just going to put it to you that way.
I agree.
Not just because of the time differential. I would love to see Mania over in London. I would love to see Mania in London or anywhere in the UK. But to have a Saudi Arabia, it just felt like that was one of Vince's final big cash grabs. It didn't seem like, especially when you just release a Saudi wrestler with Mansoor. You released him. And you prided yourself of developing WWE talent over there, and yet he was the first Saudi signing, and yet you released him.
Where was what was his name?
Oh, you're trying to think of somebody.
The other guy. Oh, what was his name? Big dude. I thought he was Indian.
Great Khali.
No.
Jinder Mahal?
Yes, him. That one. Isn't he from Saudi Arabia or is he from India?
He's from Canada.
That's true. Jesus Christ. That's so true.
He's from Canada, but he's billed from India.
This is
he's
true.
He's actually born and raised in Canada. same with the little minions that he used to run around with. The Singh brothers, they're both from Canada too, but they're built from India.
Jesus Christ.
And they had that entire crazy ass storyline kind of thing where the Great Khali was his uncle or some shit. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that pay-per-view event itself. Like I said, it's mostly just a cash grab for the company. They do have women's wrestling matches over there, but they have to, of course, abide by their rules and have them wear like suits, pretty much.
I'm sorry. I have my own opinion on things and I'm going to keep that to myself.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't agree with a lot of I don't agree with it.
I mean, I thought, honestly, the entire Saudi situation, them going over there, especially that time where they were delayed coming back. To the States, and a whole bunch of superstars missed that SmackDown or that Raw taping or whatever it was, and they missed their flight. Well, not missed their flights, but their flights got delayed for super long, and I think that if they wanted to do something over in Saudi Arabia, they should have just kept the world's largest rumble or whatever that they did that one year, where it was like 50 contestants or whatever, 50 men, 50 women or whatever it was. So I think that that's what they should have just done, and they should have just kept it at that and maybe made that an entire event.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just one of those things, but either way, I think that the that people of course are going to tune in. We're wrestling fans. We always tune in no matter how crazy it gets, what the storylines are like. I mean, we grew up in a generation where Mae Young had a ham baby with Mark Henry. So, I mean, we're used to seeing anything and everything crazy, stupid, whatever it is. But yeah, it's been one of those episodes this week.
We talked about a lot this week.
Oh yeah, we did. Like I said, man, if we would have stayed and dead 2 weeks, I'm telling you, this would have been easily probably
that would have been a 3-hour show, dude.
Oh yeah, it would have. It's crazy, and we're still recording it. We haven't even wrapped it up yet. But I think that's all I had really for this week's episode. Honestly, man, you got anything else to add?
CM Punk's coming back.
When?
He's coming back. I don't know when, but he's coming back.
He's coming back. Is he going to come back like Kurt Angle did that one time to get to WrestleMania, where he dressed up as Conquistador and was all that gold bodysuit?
Oh my God, that was a weird comeback for him.
But you know, like we said, WWE, a no is not necessarily no. It's just no for right now. So who knows?
I think he's coming back. I got that feeling he's coming.
He could mend those bridges in time to come back for Survivor Series at Chicago. So we never know. But then again, how many layoffs is it going to take after he comes back? How many layoffs will we see?
I don't know.
I mean, because Nia Jax came back and they signed Jade Cargill, and they ended up releasing over 120 people, staff and wrestlers. So Punk comes back, they might as well just lay off the entire promotion except for him. Start over, pin reset button. And then that way Punk gets his entire wrestling promotion to fit his needs and his likings.
This is true.
All
but right. I think if Punk actually does come back, and here's my opinion on that, and then I'm done. I think if he comes back, he's got a lot to relearn, attitude change, to understand the new talent that is coming up.
I got what you're saying, yeah.
He's got
I catch your drift, yeah.
He's got to change. He's got to adapt to change. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. He's got to adapt to it, not stay back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, he's got to realize now that he is.
It's a whole different ball game than it was 10 years ago.
Well, not just that, but when he before he made his AEW debut, it was 7 years removed from the ring.
This is very true.
In those 7 years, shit changed dramatically.
Yeah,
I'm not even exaggerating about that shit. Shit changed dramatically. I mean, you had WWE going from an era where it was went from an attitude era to the ruthless aggression era, and then that's when you're starting to transition into the PG era. Is when he left, they transitioned into that PG era, which they didn't want blood. They didn't want that type of violence.
Which I hated. I hated. Oh, yeah. I hated. Oh, yeah.
And then
I love the blood and gore.
Then he tried going to AEW, thinking things were going to be different from WWE. But, you know, unfortunately, both locker rooms are filled with people that used to work with WWE and vice versa. You know, you're not going to be 100% with your coworkers. You just got to shut up sometimes and just do your job.
And that's the hardest thing to do sometimes.
Oh, yeah. What's the old saying? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Well, don't bite the hand that signs your paychecks.
Yeah, this is true.
Or else you'll get fired on your wedding day. Or your day off. Who knows? Your choice.
This is very true.
All right. Since you had your last prediction of CM Punk returning at some point in time, that has been this week's episode, Jobber Nation. Jabber Nation, you can go to w.gg and use code nation2023 at checkout and receive 10% off of your order. You can find
using that.
get the starter packs. I mean, they're kind of cheap. I checked them out the other day. You get like a little starter pack, you get four flavors or whatever for like $12, and if you use the code nation2023, I think it drops everything down with shipping and everything to like $18 out the door.
I'm gonna have to look into that because I want some new shit.
Oh yeah, it's a little expensive, but I mean, at least if you try it, then you know what bigger tubs to buy, and then it doesn't hurt to save a little bit of money. Nation 2023 at checkout. All of our social links will be in our description. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
We'll see you guys on the flip side, Jabber Nation.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.